T. Gina Alexandria. Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airwaves.
I am tired. I'm weak. Lord, I'm woe through the light. Take my hand. Precious Lord, and lead me on. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand, Lord, I'm tired, I am weak, take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me on when my way grows dreary. Pray, precious Lord, linger near when my life is all most gone. Hear my lest I fall, take my hand, precious Lord, and lead your child on home.
Thank you. Thank you, Juanita. Amen. I was concentrating on asking you. I said, but now I don't want to put on the spot because I know she's been a little under the weather. But the Holy Ghost took care. Amen. Holy Ghost took care of it. So sometimes you don't have to say anything, and God will fix it. because he knows what's on our hearts. He knows our heart desires. And Father God, we thank you once again for your magnificent presence, for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness, and your patience for us and with us. Thank you for this moment. For this is all we have, is this precious moment now. Dear Lord, we lift up Pastor Hall, Pastor Smith, in the name of Jesus, Pastor Green, in the name of Jesus. These are your men of God, your God men. Continue to strengthen them, Lord. Continue to build them up where they are torn down. And then, Lord, we thank you for the healing that has occurred in the body of Reverend Smith. Thank you for where he is now as opposed to where he was this past Monday. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. And continue to bless that wife. Continue to strengthen her, Lord. Then let your angels camp by our bedside night and day, protecting her from all harm and danger in the absence of Pastor Smith. Bless and strengthen that entire family. And then, Lord, your church, First Evening Star, bless that church, Lord. You know what they stand in need of. Bless them, Lord. Hold them together. Even though the shepherd is absent, but you are present, Lord. Allow your spirit to radiate in that place. Allow his spirit to radiate in your house. That, Lord, as they worship you today in spirit and truth, that you'll set the house on fire with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're grateful and we're thankful to God that he has allowed us to be present on this glorious day of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Good morning, ladies. If you had just been here a few minutes earlier, we'd have heard from you this morning. But we still got time. We still got time. Amen. That is a word from the Lord to Minister Lavallee, to officers and members of this church, Monali Baptist Church. I'm just blessed to be present in God's house. And I'm blessed to be on God's program. It's not mine, and it's God's program. And he allowed us me on it today, and I'm just grateful for that opportunity. There's a word from Romans chapter 10. Very familiar passage of scripture. Romans chapter 10, those first four verses. Romans, Paul is the pensman. Chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Romans chapter 10. Paul is the writer. My seminary professor said to us that the book of Romans is the backbone of systematic theology. Chapter 10, Romans, verse 1. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they be in ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. May God bless the reader, hearer, and doer of his divine word. Just for a few moments, I want to talk to you on the thought, ain't no way to be saved but through Jesus Christ. Ain't no way. I don't get tripped up here this morning now. To be saved but through Jesus Christ. I know you've heard it before, but it's universal. Because the truth is right there. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's the word. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. No other name given under heaven that one can be saved but by him, Jesus Christ. That's scripture. There's no other way. Your work won't do it. Your deeds won't do it. Your work because you are saved. Your position won't do it. Your prestige won't do it. Your power, if you got some, won't do it. No other way. Here in this text, Paul is praying for the conversion of his own brothers, the Israelites. I had to read that script again. Brothers, my heart to die, and prayer to God that Israel might be saved. You mean to tell me that God's chosen people and they lost? You mean to tell me that God's peculiar people and they are lost? The nation that he brought out of 400 years of Babylonian captivity and walked them through the wilderness for 40 long years. They never had to go to Super One or Walmart. Didn't have to buy no shoes, no clothes, no food. Fed them and clothed them for 40 years. And they are lost. The one that he gave the Ten Commandments. The law to the house of Israel before anybody else. And you're going to tell me they are lost? It's right there in the text. Here we see the passion of Paul's prayer. Passion. His desire, his yearning, his craving. This is not an emotional inspired prayer, but a heart inspired prayer, which means that there is great sincerity in this prayer. Too much of our Christian conduct today is not sincere. It's often hypocritical. It's often done to impress others or attain some personal gain. But here Paul's passion is for Israel, that they might be saved. That's the purpose of his prayer. That's why he's praying that they might be saved. And the Jews' greatest need and the greatest need of everyone else is to be saved. And to be saved means your eternity will be spent in heaven with God and not in hell. Salvation is the greatest need of any soul. Certainly it's not wrong to pray for temporary and earthly needs, but for goodwill, it is definitely important that we pray for the lost.
Yes, sir.
Those that are in our family, maybe those that are even in the church. Because one name is on the church roll, do not mean that person
is saved.
That right? Amen.
What you got to understand here in this text is that the Pharisees in particular, this religious sect,
yes, sir.
They thought that the law was all they needed.
Yes, sir.
They had the law, but they didn't have no love.
Come on now.
Yeah.
They thought the script was all they needed. They had the scripture, but they didn't have the Savior.
Come on.
They thought that all of that they need was to obey the law, but yet they couldn't do that.
Come on.
The law was given as a schoolmaster. It was given for direction.
Yes, sir. That's right.
They thought that as long as they conducted their rituals and their ceremonial activities, that's all that they needed.
Yes, sir.
And the point of it was they was depending on the righteousness of the law, but the law couldn't save them.
Come on.
Only Christ could save
them.
And Christ is the righteousness of God. And when they rejected Christ, they rejected God.
Come on.
You got folks in the church.
Yes, sir.
Been in the church for years in some cases. But lost.
Yes, sir.
Preaching in the pulpit, singing in the choir. Deaconing,
yes,
ushering, but lost. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and committed to your life to Him,
lost.
If you say that, that ought to be a difference in your lifestyle. Not saying that nobody is perfect, but that ought to be some things that you just don't do. There ought to be some words that you just don't pronounce.
Come on.
There ought to be some places that you just don't trot to.
Come on now.
There ought to be some do's and there ought to be some don'ts.
Come on. Yes, sir.
In your lifestyle.
Right.
It's a gift, all you can do is receive it.
Well, yes, sir.
But in receiving it, you got some responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to have some commitment,
yes, sir,
to do the right thing. And that's not easy. Not trying to give nobody no license to do wrong, but it takes work.
Come on.
Yes.
Prayer.
Yes.
The word of God.
Come on now.
But you know, some of us are like the Pharisees.
Yes.
All we do is look at what other folks ain't doing.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Well, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you ain't got time to see what I'm not doing.
Amen.
They like spiritual detectives. And you know, if they don't take a little nip, you know, well, that's so wrong. But yet they can lie all day long.
Come on.
Sin is sin.
Well.
And some folks, all of us got some used to be.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Some got the used to be still going on.
Come on. Yeah.
I'm just being frank. I got some used to be still going on too. Ain't just you now. You may not have it. You may have it all together. And some folks is just so religious,
yes, sir,
and right.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody right all the time. You skip a mistake, make a mistake every now and then.
Yes,
sir. Amen. No, y'all don't do that. Willie do that. Willie. Think some stuff y'all not think sometime. Will
yes,
have a desire to do wrong,
yes,
when I know I ought not to do wrong?
Yes, sir.
Didn't Paul say it?
Right. Yes, sir.
Oh, this wretched man and me. Yes. Nobody but Christ can bring me through. Here, yeah, his purpose that they might be saved. But Paul said, now I bear witness,
yes, sir,
that they have a zeal. They're excited. They got enthusiasm.
Yes, sir.
They got sincerity.
Come on.
For God.
Yes, sir.
But not according to knowledge. That was the problem.
Right.
Misguided energy.
Yes, sir.
You know, some folks get excited,
yes,
by certain things about the church. But they don't seem to get excited about going seeing the sick.
Come on.
They don't seem to get excited about going out and witnessing.
Yes, sir.
They don't seem to get excited about helping somebody.
Yes, sir.
But have a program and they get all excited.
Yeah,
all
right.
For their program.
Yes, sir.
And have a hard time getting somebody to work with you
And then when they got something, they want everybody to work with them. But it takes more than just zeal and sincerity. It takes commitment. Now, they had a knowledge of God. They knew the script. But they still rejected Jesus. They knew what the word said. They had the book of Isaiah. But they refused to accept Jesus because he didn't conduct church like they did. He was a Jew, but he didn't act like no Jew.
Come on now.
They had a problem with that.
Yes, sir.
His men was out there pulling corn on the Sabbath. They had a problem with that.
Yeah.
He done healed a man. He picked up his bed. They hollered about the Sabbath day. Well, they had a problem with that.
Come on.
He done healed a blind man. They put him out of church. They had a problem with the way he conducted business.
Amen.
So they did not submit to his righteousness. But the righteousness of the law. As I said to you earlier, they had the script, but they rejected the Savior. He came to his own, and his own did not receive. One time when he had woke at the synagogue, they wanted to run him over the cliff. What am I saying? The people of this text is the Jews. And guess what? It's us. Because all of us got some knowledge, but this knowledge here is complete knowledge. See, to get to know somebody, you need some knowledge of them. You can't get to know nobody and you don't have no knowledge of them. You need to know something about them. That's how you build a relationship. By talking, sharing. But you need some true knowledge. Not knowledge somebody told you about somebody. But what did that person say about themselves? You know, sometimes we go on what other folks say. You know, he ain't no good. No, she ain't no good. Now, I tell you something now. You probably can. Somebody can tell us something about you too. And some people are together with that. Because somebody say they ain't no good, then you say, no, he ain't no good. Because you know, Susie told me that you were no good. Then they go pronouncing what, you know, he's a liar. I saw him at the convenience store, and he sure wasn't getting no coke the other day. All that kind of stuff. Y'all know he ain't lying. But you need knowledge of the person from the person. They had the word, but they did not believe it. They had a misunderstanding of what the word had to say. Sometimes we have a misunderstanding of what it says. Say the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You ought to back that thing up.
Come on.
You back that up.
Yes, sir.
What did it say before that?
Amen.
Huh? Mm-hmm. What did it say before that? Huh? No, ain't got nothing to do with no harvest in. Pray.
Yes, sir. Pray.
Pray.
Huh?
No, you ain't praying for the harvest. You praying for yourself.
Yes, sir.
Pray that you yield not to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But we just get the tail end of it. We leave the prayer out. See, the spirit gonna be willing most so if you're praying.
Come on, yes, sir.
It'll help you not to yield. Yeah. It'll help you to go right instead of going left. Yeah. He's saying here that they were ignorant of God's righteousness.
Yes, sir.
They didn't understand it. Yeah. And they were seeking to establish their own righteousness.
Yes, sir.
You know, some religions establish their righteousness. You know, we in a time now when, now, hope you don't misunderstand me what I'm fitting to say, but we in a time now when a lot of our traditional doing in the Baptist church, we done took it out. Some churches don't have Sunday school anymore. Some churches open up with a praise and praise and praise, and then the speaker speaking. They pray some more when they go home. I'm not down in none of that. Please hear me. But we must submit to the righteousness of God. We come to lift up the name of the Lord. We come to praise God, not to set the peoples on fire, but to set ourselves on fire for God. Not a concert. Not entertainment, but we're in an age now where people want to be entertained. And I like music. Don't get me wrong. I like music. I like all. I have as much religion as you got, but I like all music. I don't like that hip-hop stuff. Now. I don't fool with that now. I know y'all, you got it going on. That's your business. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm talking about Willie Duckley. I like a little Al Green every now and then. I like me a little B.B. King every now and then. I like a little Shirley Caesar. I like a little Fred Hammer. Now, you ain't got to do none of that. I'm just talking about Willie Duncan. Songs have a story. If you have listened, and they've been playing Aretha Franklin songs, if you listen to her early song, that was a story in there. You could call it the blues, you could call it secular music, but she was telling a story. She was hurting, she was in pain and misery.
Yes, she was.
She was hurting when she said, "No way for me to love you if you don't let me." She was hurting when she said, "Ain't no way." She was hurting. Now you can circularize it however you want to do it. But that was a story. That's how she got through her pain and agony in singing about it. But you could feel the spirit in whatever she was saying. You could still feel the spirit in it. Oh yeah. But all I'm saying is that the main point is to know God for yourself. To have a personal relationship with him through the knowledge of who he is. What he's done for you. Not try to establish your own righteousness. The way they tried to establish their own righteousness was that the Ten Commandments, they turned that into 600 plus laws. A law for every bone in the body. You couldn't do this and you couldn't do that. Old preacher said one time, say, if Jackie Robinson's dad had been a preacher, he never could have played baseball. Because when I came up, you couldn't play baseball on Sunday. You couldn't shoot marbles on Sunday. You couldn't play in the yard on Sunday. You didn't wash no clothes. No, Lord. My mama house, you weren't going to put no island boat up on no Sunday. No, Lord. Huh? I came through that age. But now that didn't have nothing to do with my salvation. Washing clothes on Sunday had nothing to do with my salvation. If I need to do that. Ironing my shirt because it's wrinkled ain't got nothing to do with my salvation. But there was mama order in her house. So you did that or you go outdoors or somewhere else. That was her rule. But it had nothing to do with my salvation. That's the point I'm trying to show us. Then we had this thing where ladies can't wear pants at church. Back in Jesus' day, they didn't wear. Well, they didn't have no pants when Jesus came along. Wasn't nobody wearing no pants when Jesus came along. They had a robe on. If I come in with my robe on, my bandana wrapped around my head one of these Sundays, you're going to say I ain't dressed right. I'm dressed according to the script. Huh? I see some ladies in some dresses that they all gotta be wearing. Look like when they were making some of them skirts, they ran out of material. And when they sat down, they put it all during the service. And you almost got to preach like this. I ain't dead now, and I ain't blind, and I ain't hunting, I ain't fishing, but I ain't dead, and I ain't blind,
Come on.